I'm often asked when I go out and do speaking engagements about my favorite person or persons I've interviewed, and certainly I couldn't pick one, but I tell you who would be on my top 10 list. He's become a dear friend, and I've had a wonderful time with him every time we sit down and have a chance to have something to eat or a drink. I'm talking about Scott Hamilton, the champion figure skater, Olympic gold medalist, also inducted into the U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame and the World Figure Skating Hall of Fame, and of course, a four-time world champion. When you hear something like that and all those descriptions, do you feel like you're about 105 years old, Scott?
No, I'm sitting there listening going, oh, man, I'd better bring my A game. This is with that kind of introduction, it's better be either really compelling or telling or funny or something. Okay, it's time for me to focus.
You know, when you think about all that you've gone through, both personally and professionally as a figure skater, and where you are right now, and when you have that chance to sit back and reflect on it, what are the things that come to Scott Hamilton's mind about it?
You know, it's just been such a wild ride, you know. I mean, with the competitive years and then, you know, just how that just, it all of a sudden, bam, it sort of blossomed. You know, I was kind of last at Nationals and novice, and next to last at Nationals and novice, then third, you know, from the end, you know, from the bottom in junior, and then all of a sudden, bam, the whole thing just sort of kicked into another gear, and it was just, it happened to me, and it's just, it's crazy how, you know, you go in 4 years and you, you kind of compete at the world level, and all of a sudden you look back and you have four national, four world, and an Olympic gold medal, and it's just insane that, you know, I look back and I think that was me. And then, you know, from there I was broke. I needed to, I really needed to get a job, and so I started my professional career, and to try to, you know, squeeze maybe 3-4, if I can get, you know, as many as 6 years out of this thing, boy, I'm going to be the luckiest guy in the world. And 20 years later, I'm still on tour. And so I just pinched myself that, you know, the skating side of my life has been so, you know, rich and beyond my wildest dreams, or, you know, my wildest, I would never would have thought of that. I never would have thought to ask for that kind of career. And then, you know, the tragedy part of my medical career, you know, has been something where I've learned so much. And, you know, as much as there was a lot of challenge and a lot of, you know, at times discomfort, I look back on that and I wouldn't trade a second of it, because, you know, it's all part of the plan, you know. And so, you know, I've had my highs and my lows and my in-betweens, and right now, you know, I've just shifted gears to be a father and a husband, and I'm enjoying that probably, you know, as much or more than anything I've ever done in my life. And, you know, especially my boys, they're pretty awesome young men.
You know, Scott, when I think about you and what you've gone through both personally and professionally, I'm wondering whether the seeds for your success and your happiness was your attitude, because you've always been kind of an outgoing, happy type of person, even in the biggest and darkest challenging moments as well. Would you agree that probably is the driving force for Scott Hamilton?
Well, you know, I joke around that a good buddy of mine named Sterling Ball, he's a guitar manufacturer. He, you know, we were talking one night and he said, you know, think of if you had to write your personal ad, you know, how would it read? And you have to be totally honest. And, you know, I go, okay, let me think. Short, bald, half-neutered, chemoed, radiated, surgically repaired, male figure skater of unknown ethnic origin. You know, I mean, that's kind of the description, you know. And I think back and I go, how did all of this, you know, kind of happen to me? It's like, you know, when good things happen, you know, it's easy for those good things to kind of overtake your psyche and trying to, you know, it tries to undermine, you know, your genuine self. And I think a lot of people call that first fame. You know, it's the first time that you've reached a level of notoriety or you know, familiarity, fame, whatever. And it can really put you in touch with some pretty awful, dark stuff. And you know, I kind of found a way to kind of get through, you know, all those, you know, those really rough times, you know, and you think that you're on top of the world, but, in many cases, when you're on top of the world, you're at the bottom of your heart, you know, and you've got to get through it and figure out who you are again. Because, you know, as Joe Walsh said, everybody's so different, I haven't changed. Well, not really. I think that, you know, your environment and your circumstances change you greatly. And so you've just got to find a way to you know, find peace and find, you know, normalcy and try not to let, you know, a lot of this goodwill that's being, you know, blanketed on you, you know, constantly, you can't let that take you off the path. And it can very easily. I've seen it happen to countless athletes and entertainers.
You know, I've often wondered whether you ever felt trapped by your personality in that people would come to expect Scott Hamilton to be a certain way every time. And we all know that athletes are like everybody else. They have their good days and their bad days as well. Did you ever feel trapped by your style and also your personality?
Not really. You know, I guess, you know, I was always kind of, it's just here I am, okay? that's what you get. And, you know, I'm not like a stand-up comedian who has to be funny, you know, mm-hmm. or I don't have this big, huge persona, you know, kind of away from the ice where I have to perform when I'm not, you know, or when I'm having kind of my, you know, private time. I never felt compelled to have to really perform or anything. And I really enjoy people. I mean, I fly Southwest, and you better like people if you're flying Southwest everywhere. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, I just decided to be wide open. You know, I think people, when they recognize you and they want to have, interaction, they just want to touch your heart for a second. And if your baseball cap, sunglasses, you know, shrouding, covering up, you know, just not allowing them to have little access to your heart for just that 1 second, it's uncomfortable. And it leaves kind of a bad taste in both sides' mouths, you know. And so I'm arms wide open. How are you? What's up? You know, how you doing? And then I'm under no pressure to kind of have to put something on. I just try to be, you know, like everybody else.
Let me just say one thing to the people listening around the world, and that is that I often hear Scott on this show how fans will complain about athletes and how they're not approachable. But I will tell everybody that Scott and I were having a lunch at the North Beach restaurant here in San Francisco.
Love that place. Oh, man, I love that place.
And back a little way from our table was a table with some elderly women, maybe even some middle-aged women as well. And you could hear they were like, you know who that is, you know that. And Scott, when we left, got up and went over to the table and spent some time with the women. And you would have thought they all melted. I mean, it was one of those beautiful moments for me to just witness. So, I think that's one of the things that has made you so special and so enduring as an athlete is the humanness that does not always come about all the time. And I know that when you're maybe an athlete making $25 million a year playing baseball and you got a lot of...
I never had that problem.
Yeah, exactly. Let me take you in a direction here, because you and I have talked about this, and I was always touched by what you had to say. When you won the Olympic gold medal, it was 1984, and it was Sarajevo, right?
Right.
Okay. And everybody knows what happened to Yugoslavia and the war and the ethnic cleansing and everything that went on there. You were there during a time which was a high moment for that country, and then you kind of witnessed it in the years afterwards and kind of probably knew what was going on internally there. What thoughts did you have about that?
It just seemed like someone turned the world upside down. You know, when we were there, my most, I guess, vivid sensory memory of Sarajevo was the smell of wet paint or fresh paint. You know, everywhere I went in the Zetra, it was just painted. I mean, they finished construction on most of it by the time the Olympics happened. Okay, there were still things that weren't done when we got there. And I think about, you know, the spirit of all the volunteers in the opening ceremonies and just the, you know, just everything was spit polished. You know, these old ancient buildings and mosques, and they were just perfect. They were beautiful, and they really put on their best face hosting the Olympic Games. And then, just years later, the arena where I won my medal, the arena of the Zetra where I won my medal, they used as a morgue for all the bodies that they were finding, you know, everywhere. They just bring them to the Zetra and they'd lay them down on the floor. And I'm thinking, how does this happen? How do people just decide that they're just going to, you know, start killing their neighbors? And how does that happen? I mean, what's the catalyst for something like that to happen? You know, and I guess the leadership that existed in Yugoslavia that was very strong just sort of held it together and kept people from, you know, rising up against each other, I guess. But that is not a place that I will ever recognize again, because of it was such a special, unique time in that city's history. And now, I you know, with everything that's happened, I just can't imagine, you know, that it being the same place. It's completely foreign to me.
Scott Hamilton is with us, figure skating champion, 1984 Olympic gold medalist, and, of course, inducted into the Olympic Hall of Fame, as well as the World Figure Skating Hall of Fame. We will continue with Scott as we continue with more of You and Sports Byline.